the following is a class on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter number 11, text number 44, given by His Grace, Sriman Sangarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 6th, 2015, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Nityananda Britcha Paramananda Upajaya Sri Jiva Pandita Nityananda Guna Gaya Nityananda Britcha Paramananda Upajaya
Nityananda Britcha Paramananda Upajaya
Shri Jiva Pandita Nityananda Gunagaya.
Shri Jiva Pandita Nityananda Gunagaya.
Nityananda Britcha Paramananda Upajaya.
Nityananda Britcha Paramananda Upajaya.
Shri Jiva Pandita Nityananda Gunagaya.
Shri Jiva Pandita Nityananda Gunagaya.
Nityananda Britcha.
Nityananda Britcha.
Servant of Nityananda Prabhu,
servant of Nityananda Prabhu.
Paramananda Upajaya,
Paramananda Upajaya.
Of the name Paramananda Upajaya.
Of the name Paramananda Upajaya.
Shri Jiva Pandita.
Shri Jiva Pandita.
Of the name Shri Jiva Pandita.
Of the name Shri Jiva Pandita.
Nityananda.
Nityananda.
Lord Nityananda Prabhu.
Lord Nityananda.
Guna, qualities. Gaya, glorified. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Paramananda Upajaya was Nityananda Prabhu's great servitor. Sri Jiva Pandit glorified the qualities of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Purport. Sri Paramananda Upajaya was an advanced devotee. His name is mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Sri Jiva Pandit is also mentioned as the second son of Ratnagarbha, Acharya, and a childhood friend of Hadai Oha, the father of Nityananda Prabhu. In the Gauragonadesha Deepika verse 169, it is said that Sri Jiva Pandit was formerly the gopi named Indira. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tamsa Jeeva Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Svaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatnya Deshatarine. So, it is very, very nice and very, very enlivening and wonderful to read about these great personalities, the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who they were in Chaitanya Leela, who they were in Krishna Leela. It's very, very enlivening to hear about this. But you know, there's something also very enlivening. Did you know that actually you were one of the great associates also of the Lord? Yeah, actually you were also one of the great associates of the Lord. That is our position. We are all formerly great associates of the Lord in His transcendental pastimes. Intimate associates of Lord Krishna. And also perhaps Lord Chaitanya. Or either one, actually, is described in the scriptures. Or both. It can be either one or both. Every living entity has a relationship with the Lord, either in Chaitanya Leela, Krishna Leela, or both. Or it could be in the Narayan, in the Vaikuntha realm as well. But in any case, we all have eternal identities in the spiritual world, and this is just the temporary consciousness burp to end up here, you see. Our mind kind of went off the track a little bit, and boom, here we are, you know. But all you have to do is get back to your original position, and that process is called sadhana bhakti. By engaging in the regulative principles of devotional service according to the instructions of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Prabhupada. It's a step-by-step process as enumerated by Srila Rupa Goswami. If you will take up this step-by-step process, then gradually you will regain your original identity as one of the Lord's intimate associates in the spiritual world. So, don't be so worried about what's going on here, really. Don't let it bother you that much, because it's not really your real identity. You know, being a man or a woman here in the material world right now. All the things that go along with that. The different family relationships, the family problems, the problems with your job. You know, so many things are going on. So many things. Problems with the government, problems with your health. Don't let it bother you that much, because it's not really you. It's just the covering of the actual self. This self that you think you are now, which is actually the false ego. It's just the covering. It's a masquerade. The real self will be revealed as you gradually unfold your true nature through the process of sadhana bhakti, gradually morphing into raga bhakti in the perfectional stage. So just faithfully follow this process. Have faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, have faith in the scriptures, have faith in Srila Prabhupada, have faith in your spiritual master, have faith in devotees. Put your faith where it belongs. Your faith belongs with Krishna and all those who are representing Krishna purely. That's where you should be putting your faith. And then with that faith, now you associate with the devotees, associate with the scriptures, associate with the deities, and associate very nicely, and then you will make further progress, you see. You have faith, then you associate, you serve, and then when you take it, when you're very serious to really commit yourself to this process, that is called bhajana kriya, when you get initiated and you take the vow to give your whole life to following this process without deviation throughout your whole life, you see. That's called bhajana kriya. So when you make that commitment, the initiation vows during the bhajana kriya phase, now you become very solidly fixed in the process. And by that fixity in the process, all the contaminations in the heart, the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, delusion, and envy that have accumulated over millions of lifetimes of rebelling against the authority of the Lord. That gradually goes away. And when you get, and it's almost gone, that stage is called anartanavitti. And then when it goes even further, it becomes even more cleansed, that stage is called ruchi. When now there's hardly any trace of material contamination left, and you're just relishing unlimited sweetness in Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And then finally, when that last trace of material contamination goes away, Prabhupada explains that's called the Asakti stage. When you become absolutely, totally, completely attached to Krishna, you have absolutely no attachments at all except to Krishna. Krishna is your only attachment. That's called the Asakti stage. At that stage, you actually realize who you are in the eternal leelas of the Lord. You actually realize who you are. And as you actually enter into the mood of that relationship, that's called the Bhava stage. And when you become fully situated in that relationship, that's called the Prema stage. So it all begins by having faith. You put your faith in the process. You associate, you get initiated, you strictly follow the regulative principles. In this way, the great associate of the Lord that now is covered beneath your false ego, you see, gradually comes up. And the prema stage becomes fully manifest. So don't let this material world get you down. That's the point. You're somebody. You're not really who you think you are in this material world. You're actually one of the Lord's eternal associates. So don't let the material world get you down. It's not worth even worrying about that much. It's just a temporary phase. You're in the hospital right now getting cured. And when you get out, you're going to be back with Krishna and Radharani and the gopis and the cowherd boys and Govardhan and the Jamuna or like that. So when we read about these great associates, it's not just academic. We can actually enter into the association of these great personalities. We got disconnected from the... Let's reconnect with our... So our online people can get back in. So this process is very sublime. You must put your full faith in this process. There's a lot of people out there who will tell you that this Krishna consciousness is no good. It's fanaticism, or they, it's sectarian. A lot of people give you bad opinion about Krishna consciousness. You have to become very callous to such mentalities because they are demoniac mentalities. And if you give them any credence, they'll pollute your consciousness. You have to have unflinching faith in Krishna consciousness, unflinching faith in Srila Prabhupada, unflinching faith in those who are purely representing Srila Prabhupada, the senior devotees, any fixed-up devotees who are purely representing Prabhupada. You have to put faith in them also, you see. It's very important to have that strong faith. And the faith is not blind, because by putting your faith into this process, you tangibly experience the results. Bhakti pareshanu bhava bharaktir anyatra chai shatraka eka kalaha prapadnyaman nashayatashnashyus tushti pushti sudapayo nagasam. Devotion, direct experience of Krishna, and detachment from all material forms of all material sense gratification occurs simultaneously in the heart of one who is taking up seriously this path of Krishna bhakti. Just as eradication of hunger, satisfaction of the tongue, and nourishment occur increasingly with each bite from one who is engaged in the process known as eating. You know what it likes to eat, don't you? You know what it likes to eat. You get satisfied. Your hunger goes away. You get nourished. So in the same way as eating is a tangible experience, awakening your Krishna consciousness is also a tangible experience, just like eating. Three things happen. You'll start to feel some love for Krishna. You'll actually, your heart will melt sometimes in the kirtan. Your heart will melt sometimes seeing the deities. Your heart will melt hearing about Krishna's transcendental pastimes. Your heart will melt when you see your spiritual master, or when you see a video of Srila Prabhupada, you see. So this means bhakti is actually awakening. And in this way, when that softening of the heart, actually you can begin to feel the presence of Krishna. Prabhupada told my god sister, she was wanting to know how to chant japa. Prabhupada's poignant advice, he said, when you chant japa, feel the presence of Krishna. So actually, Krishna is personally present. You are directly associating with Krishna. You may say, well, how's that possible? He's so far away in Goloka Vrindavan. But don't you know the name of Krishna is Krishna himself? Nama avatar. When you say Krishna, Krishna is present. When you say Krishna with faith, Krishna is just as present with you as he was with Arjuna on the chariot, or he was when he was under the Govardhan Hill with all the Brijabasis. Just when you say Krishna with faith, Krishna is personally with you. You're directly associating with him. You say, when will that day come when I associate with Krishna? You can do it right now. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And what is the result, Viraktir? If you're actually, your heart is melting and you're feeling Krishna's presence, do you think you'd be attracted to the material energy anymore? No. The attraction to the material energy goes away. This is how you can actually measure your advancement in Krishna consciousness, that you're no longer attracted by material sense gratification. It doesn't appeal to you anymore. Previously, you may have been a lusty character trying to enjoy this material world, but now by awakening your Krishna consciousness, you're not attracted anymore, you see. You find it repulsive, actually, the idea of material sense gratification. You just want to spit at the thought of material sense gratification. This is a sign of advancing in Krishna consciousness. It's called nava-nava rasa. There are newer, and when you take this path seriously, then you get newer and newer tastes at every minute. Nava-nava rasa. This is described in a poetry by Jamunacharya Albandru of South India. He says, Yadavadi mamma cheta Krishna vadaravinde Nava nava rasa daman yuktarantumasit Tadavadi bhattanari sangame smayamane Bhavati mukushtu nishtivanam cha. Ever since I have engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, deriving nava nava rasa, newer and newer tastes in that activity of Krishna consciousness. Whenever the thought of sex life as I was previously engaged comes to my brain, my lips curl up with this taste and I spit at the thought. So in this way, the devotee, as he awakens his Krishna consciousness, he's repulsed by the idea of material sense gratification. He finds it disgusting. He finds it abominable because he is tasting a pleasure which is beyond even the pleasure relished by the demigods and the heavenly planets. Krishna bhakti is the ultimate pleasure. It's millions of times better than any pleasure of this material world. So just try to get that taste for Krishna bhakti. And that taste, that ruchi, you see, nama ruchi, that will carry you to the next stage of when you actually realize who you are in Krishna's pastimes. So just try to go through all the steps very properly, have faith, associate, get initiated, strictly follow your initiation vows, serve your spiritual master with love, serve the devotees with love. You see, in this way, the dirt will gradually go away. You'll get a taste for the name. And that taste for the name then will carry you to the perfectional stage. The Hare Krishna mantra is like an airplane. Just like today, we're flying on British Airways, Com Air, from here to Johannesburg. But there's another airplane, another airport. The airport is in your heart. And the airplane is Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Fly the friendly Hare Krishna skies every day. Take off. Your 16 rounds means taking off on an airplane ride to Goloka Vrindavan. So every day, while you may appear to be in this material world, if you're chanting Hare Krishna with faith and love, actually you're on a journey flying back to Krishna Loka every day by chanting your rounds very nicely. So, now I can ask if there's any questions. Should we associate with a selfish devotee who somehow are helping us to advance in Krishna consciousness? Well, if he's selfish, then how much he's really helping you? That's one question. The devotees who really will help you the most are the selfless devotees, and they are the advanced devotees. Neophyte devotees are sometimes selfish. They are called Kanishta Adhikaris. A selfish devotee is Kanishta Adhikari. He can fall down at any time because he's still doing everything for his pleasure, you see. So those devotees are not really that beneficial to help, for helping you. You should be helping them. You should be the selfless devotee who's helping the selfish devotee to advance in Krishna consciousness. That's what you should be. You see, selfless devotee means Madhyam Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari. That is selfless devotee. Selfish devotee means Kanishta Adhikari. So you should become Madhyam Adhikari, selfless devotee, and help the selfish devotee to advance. And that by helping the selfish devotee to advance, you will advance even more. In other words, the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So just try to give Krishna to others. And that giving Krishna to others will help you to advance very rapidly on the path back to home, back to Goloka. Okay. While chanting Hare Krishna, we must feel the presence of Krishna. How do we know that feeling is artificial or genuine? Well, when you feel it, you'll know. If you think, is this artificial? Then you're not there yet. You're not there yet. Is this artificial? Yeah, then you're not there. But when you actually can feel the presence of Krishna, you'll know it. You want it to be told. You're getting blessed with the association of Krishna. You'll know it. I've read that the moment we want to enjoy separately from Krishna, it takes just a yakto second to fall, no, not even that long, to fall into the material world. There's absolutely no time. As soon as you have the desire to enjoy separately, you're already in the material world. There's not a gap in there. In other words, you can't be in Maya in the spiritual world. As soon as you embrace Maya, you're already here, Prabhu. You're already here. It's not that you can be in Maya in the spiritual world and they kick you out. No. There's only pure souls there. So as soon as you have the desire to enjoy separately, you're already here. There's not even a nanosecond delay. You're instantly here without any delay. Why can't there be a rehabilitation program in the spiritual world protecting how suffering is in... In other words, in the spiritual world, they have some videos of what it's like in the material world to convince you not to leave the spiritual world. That the idea. Have some special, you know, like they give some morning classes. No, that's not necessary. Does it take lifetimes to reach the stage of Krishna Prema? It could. It could take you millions of lifetimes. It's up to you. You can do it within a second, or you can do it in millions of lifetimes. It's up to you. How eager are you to revive your original loving relationship with Krishna? Or how eager are you to kind of take it easy and enjoy life in Mauritius for a while, and kind of enjoy life for a while here and take it easy? It's up to you. Is your only desire to please Krishna? Are you willing to do whatever Krishna says? I'll sacrifice anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll give up anything. I'll accept anything. Absolutely, Krishna, now I put myself fully under your direction. Whatever you want to do with me, pray that way. You say, well, that's not really me. We'll pray that way. Beg for it. It's not us. It's a fact. We want to enjoy the material world. That's our position. Let's be honest. We're still wanting to enjoy this material world. So how do you get kick out that enjoying mood? You beg Krishna to give you pure bhakti. My dear Krishna, please give me pure devotional service. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Let me have one desire only, and that is to do whatever you want, to have whatever thought in my brain you want me to have in my brain, whatever words you want to have me coming out of my mouth, whatever activities you want me to do, let me, everything I do, simply be for your pleasure and for my spiritual master's pleasure and nothing else. You see, that, if you pray and you beg for that, you will advance very quickly in this pathway. You'll be surprised at how quickly you can achieve Krishna prema if you take that mood very seriously. Is there any higher planetary system in the material world where Krishna consciousness or the process of devotional service is practiced? Yes, they have Krishna consciousness in the higher planets. But it's not completely pure. It's mixed. Because they have so much sense gratification in the higher planets. Actually, the demigods want to come here because this is the best planet to practice Krishna consciousness in the whole universe. If we are important eternal devotees, why are we called Nityabuddha? Actually, you are Nityasiddha and Nityabuddha both. You have both natures. Your Nityasiddha is your actual position. It is simply covered right now by Nityabuddha. Is ruchi manifest also in the taste to preach? Absolutely. And serve the mission? Absolutely. Absolutely. I am trying to engage in Krishna bhakti, but in fact I am just doing it as a duty. That's okay in the beginning. I am not tasting any sweetness. That's okay. Just keep doing it. Rupa Goswami gives this very poignant advice. He says, Shat Krishna Nama Charitari Siddhi Yava Vidya Pito Patapta Rashanashana Rochikanu Kin Vandananinang Kalichai Vajushta Savikramad Bhavitu Kulam Chadgalamula Hantri. He says, the holy name, character, and pastimes of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So just keep chanting, Prabhu. Even though it's bitter poison right now, you keep on chanting and that disease of material sense gratification will be destroyed at the root and the full sweetness of the name will completely flood your heart in due course of time. How do we know we are transiting from the neophyte to the majjhim stage? What are the symptoms? Your material desires are fading away.
Can you take some questions from
the internet questions, okay. Which ones?
They
scroll down for me. I can't see them.
Gabriele.
Who was the first one?
Gabriele. How to be brave and encouraging enough, but persevere in humility at the same time while preaching.
Oh, Gabriele, okay. How to be brave and encouraging enough, but preserving humility at the same time while preaching to relatives. Well, the thing is, sometimes the relatives shouldn't even be preached to. You have to see if they're favorable or not. If they're just going to say negative things and commit offense, then it's better not to preach to the relatives. The whole world is out there. Relatives are relative. They're not absolute. Don't feel that you have to preach to your relatives. Sometimes they're the worst people to preach to. Sometimes they're the best. It depends on them. Everyone's our relative, that's right. So your relative means everybody in the whole world is your relative, especially the human beings are your most important relatives. So you shouldn't be thinking about preaching to your relatives, you think about all the conditioned souls of this material world. Whoever is most willing to hear from you, the most inclined to hear from you, that's where you should put your energies. Not into those who get turned off and say negative things like my grandmother said, why didn't you become a Christian minister? You see, so you need to put your preaching in the right place where people are going to go, wow, that's really cool. You know, that's where you have to see. Don't cast your pearls before a swine. I don't want to offend your relatives, but you know, it's you put your preaching where it's going to have a good effect, and not where people are going to be critical. So don't feel you have to preach to your relatives. The best thing, just like in your case, we're advising you to go to take some time off now and go to Kaunas and learn how to do book distribution. In your case, to have the devotees who are preaching, distributing books, who know how to approach the public on the street, go with them and learn how to do that. So this way you can really develop yourself as a preacher. You can't develop yourself as a preacher sitting in the house with your relatives. You're never going to develop as a preacher by doing that. You need to get out and face the general public. Especially going out with Prabhupada's books, facing the general public, that's how you'll become a powerful preacher. That's the key. Huh? Okay. How to develop unflinching faith in Guru and Krishna. Rupa and Manjari from Mayapur. We're getting a question coming from Mayapur today. Okay. How to develop unflinching faith. Okay. That unflinching faith is very important. Right now we have faith, but it's flinching. How do you transform your flinching faith into unflinching faith? Hearing is actually the key. If you will hear from your spiritual master, from senior Vaishnavas, from Srila Prabhupada, if you will hear, reading, hearing, these activities will actually completely destroy all the doubts. Hearing is the key. Quality hearing is the key. You need to hear, because if you don't hear the philosophy, you'll hear your mind, and your mind is full of so many rascal doubts. So you have to hear. Transcendental philosophy. How to develop a genuine desire to go and preach. Well, just do it. I don't care if you have a desire or not. Do it in the order of the spiritual master. Go out and preach. Approach people with Prabhupada's books. Do preaching programs in homes. Do something. Get out and preach. Just do it. Don't worry about having a taste for it or a desire to do it. Just do it on the order of the spiritual master, and believe me, you'll get an incredible taste, and you'll become addicted to it. Wow! This is the ultimate nectar. Let's see, people are amazed how you can make 60 airplane flights a year, circling the globe twice a year at the age 67. I mean, how you can do it? Don't you get worn out? I say no. I get energy. The more I do it, the more I get energy. The more I travel and preach, I get more and more energy. I become energized by this. So preaching is like that. The more you preach, the more you get energy. And then with that energy, you can preach even more potently. And when you preach even more potently, you give even more energy. In this way, it just goes on increasing. In this way, if all our devotees can get in this mood, we can take over the whole world in 18 days. Let's do it. Everybody get in the preaching mood. Preach, distribute books, Harinam. Let's take over the world in 18 days, starting here in Mauritius. Get serious about preaching and experience the nectar. And material sense gratification, you'll just laugh at it. If Cupid comes with a little quiver of arrows, you'll just laugh at him. What are you nonsense Cupid, what do you think you can do with those stupid little arrows? They're just going to bounce off me. I'm in preaching mood now. Is he? See what I'm saying? Okay. Okay, let's take another local one here now. A sadhaka usually gets stuck in the stage of anartha nivritti. Now, if you get to anartha nivritti, you're rolling. You're rolling along the line. If you get to anartha... Now, bhajana kriya could be a place of getting stuck, to where you're not doing it properly. You see that? But once you get to anartha nivritti, you're rolling. It's just like, let's say you're going from point A to point B, and there's a big mountain range in the middle, you see. And here's the mountain range. For those who are not seeing me or hearing, I'll describe it too. You know, on one side of the mountain, there's sadhu sangha, there's shraddha. You're down in the valley, okay? And then there's Sadhu Sangha. You're going up the mountain a little bit. Bhajana Kriya now. Bhajana Kriya will take you all the way up to the peak. When you get to the peak, that's a Nartana Vritti. And then it's just a downhill glide after that. Prabhupada says after Nartana Vritti, it's just a downhill glide. Once you get to Nartana Vritti, it's a downhill glide. Back to home, back to Godhead. You see. That's when you're really rolling, you see. Where we get hung up is, some people get hung up in Sadhu Sangha. They don't ever get initiated. They dissociate with ISKCON for years. They never get initiated. They're hung up in Sadhu Sangha states. Some people get initiated, but they don't really follow their guru's orders very well. They get hung up in Bhajana Kriya. They don't ever perfect Bhajana Kriya. You know, they do three out of four principles. Maybe, you know, their rounds are not steady. They don't have good sadhana. They don't have good relationships with devotees. They get hung up in the Bhajana Kriya stage. They never get out of Bhajana Kriya. But once you actually get out of Bhajana Kriya and get to Nartana Vritti, you're rolling. You're getting, those Nartas are flying away and you're rolling down the road. You got your momentum going once you hit the Nartana Vritti. So you should really, if you're not initiated, get initiated. And if you are initiated, really take it seriously. Now every thought, every deed, every word has to be it has to be completely pleasing to my spiritual master. No more messing around with the material nature. I'm going to kick Maya out completely now from this moment. Maya, you're booted out, and you're not welcome back ever again. That's it. That's the way to do Bhajana Kriya, you see. And that will take you to Nartana Vritti quickly. During your presence, we are energized and inspired, but your absence makes us feel sad. Why this happens? That's natural. The thing is, there's two forms of association. There's Vani and Vapu. The Vani is the instructions, the teachings, the vibrational presence, and Vapu is the physical presence. Of the two, the Vani is more important. So if you feel pain and anguish in the separation of Vapu, that's good. Use that to enter into Vani Sangha. Vani Sangha will never leave you, just like it was very painful for us when Prabhupada left the planet. But we realize that if we can stay dedicated to making this world Krishna conscious on the order of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada will always be residing in our hearts. Isn't it, Arjuna Prabhu? Prabhupada will always be residing with us. If we keep Prabhupada's mission as the goal of our life, we will always have Prabhupada sitting right there. We actually feel closer to Prabhupada even when he is here. You see, so you have to learn how to feel closer to your spiritual master or senior devotees in their absence by being dedicated to following their instructions. Lord Nityananda is more merciful than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why is it so? It's very simple, because Lord Chaitanya was going to kill Jagai Madai, and he said no, deliver them. Is it right to say that advanced devotees in ISKCON are at the stage of Krishna praying? They could be. They may not be. You can be an advanced devotee even before getting to prema. I would say that prema is very, very rarely. I wouldn't just say, yeah, all the devotees have prema. I mean, I wouldn't say such things. There may be some devotees who have prema. It's a very, very rare stage of Shiva. Is it possible to maintain a good relationship with colleagues in the corporate world by following all the principles and the etiquette of a Vaishnava? Oh, yes. It's simply a matter of your attitude. If you have what is your demeanor? Are you like a dog with your tail between your legs? Then you won't be able to do it. But if you know, if you have the mood of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, you know, you're absolutely convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all your energies and intelligence is fully absorbed in serving his mission, then you can be like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had the highest respect of his colleagues in the British government. He had the highest respect. They gave him, of all the positions you could, as a servant of the British government in India in that time, the highest position you could occupy was magistrate. Bhaktivinoda was there, and he was the most highly regarded magistrate. If there was a problem in the village, like a Hindu-Muslim riot, the Britishers would send Bhaktivinoda Thakur. If there was a problem with a bogus incarnation, that Vishikena bogus incarnation, they would send Bhaktivinoda Thakur to quell the bogus incarnation. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the proof. He had the highest regard of his colleagues. So there you go. Just remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You follow his footsteps. You make Krishna consciousness sound so simple. No, I don't make it sound. It is simple. I don't make it sound simple. That's nonsense. It is simple. Not that I make it sound simple by some word jugglery or something. It is simple. But we've complicated it by our lusty, angry, greedy desires. We complicate it. That's the problem. It's like your engine runs very simply, but you throw a monkey wrench in the gears. We're throwing a monkey wrench in the gears. We're making it complicated. You understand? It's our stupidity, our asinineness. We are making it complicated. So stop this nonsense. It's simple for the simple and difficult for the crooked. Stop being crooked.
Srila Prabhupada once said to Tribhuvanath, Krishna consciousness is so simple you may miss it.
So simple you may miss it. Because we're so sophisticated, right? Yes, I'm very sophisticated. So come down off your high horse, Mr. Sophistication, and just accept the simple process of Krishna consciousness. Mm. Can we worship Krishna as a friend? Mm. Not yet. Don't jump. Don't jump ahead. There's enough monkeys jumping over the branches of Vrindavan. You follow the process of sadhana bhakti. You be the servant of the servant of the servants of Krishna. And that by that way, you'll become situated someday and your rasa will be revealed to you. As a friend, as a boyfriend, as a girlfriend, as a peacock feather, whatever you are in Krishna's pastime. Oh, wow. Is this a whole list of questions? Yes? Yeah, it is. 6 questions, all typed out nicely. Well, let's see what we can do. Some devotees seize the opportunity to write you their disguised questions anonymously, essentially to hurt indirectly other devotees. What? That's not nice. One in question, especially in a big crowd, and revise some unfortunate event again and again. They think that the person in particular is trying to... They use the questions as a way to get back at somebody by bringing some point. Let's rise above this kind of, tit-for-tat mentality and just let's try to love one another and just try to ask questions to purify our own hearts instead of thinking, I'm going to ask a question to teach this devotee a lesson over here. Now, just ask questions to purify your heart, you see. I wish to precise that the person in question is Mark. Oh, he's going on to some specific issue about some person. The question is a Marg Pradarshaka guru of my Marg. Marg Prashad Guru, were not. I wouldn't. Yeah. I also wish to tell you, Grace, who was my Marg Prashad Guru. He was my boss, a reckless alcohol consumer with all the related vices. Anyway, what's the point of all this? He attended Mangalarti, initiated. My question is, this person in controversy, an ordinary person and criminal, there was some incident that took place. Thing is, even if somebody was a criminal, even if they were a murderer, a rapist, and the most heinous, sinful person, if they take shelter of Krishna, apishatudarashado bhajate mammananyaba, they are considered saintly if they take up this process. Even if somebody becomes a devotee and falls down, if he again takes up the process, he's considered saintly. And let's say somebody really helped me to advance in Krishna consciousness, but they had a fall down. I mean, it happens. Some of our devotees in ISKCON, their guru is blooped. What are they supposed to think about their guru who blooped? Very painful thing. Well, you think, well, he helped me in so many ways. So now I should pray for his liberation to help him. That person helped me in so many ways. He encouraged me, but something happened to him. He was carried away, and now I'm still here, but let me pray for that person. That person prayed for me. That person helped me. So let me pray for that person's benefit. In this way, there should be a feeling of love, not a feeling of vengeance. You see? This is the key. We have to have a feeling of love. If you have a feeling of anger, like you feel like, you know, choking some devotee to death or something like that, it's krodha vegam, overtaking your mind. You have to conquer over krodha. Don't let krodha conquer you. The way you have to understand why this anger, this mood of vengeance comes, this krodha vegam, is described that it actually begins with lust, you see. Pure love of Krishna in contact with the material nature is transformed into lust. And later that lust, when it's not fulfilled, it turns into wrath. So if you have wrath in your heart, if you have anger, a mood of vengeance in your heart, it's not because of what somebody did to you, it's because you're your own lust. It's because of your own lusty consciousness. So you have to free yourself of that lusty tendency by developing love. And then anger won't touch you ever again. The mood of getting back with a devotee, vengeance, it'll all go away. You'll automatically forgive everyone. You're thinking, well, this devotee was offensive to me, but how offensive I have been to so many people in my millions of lifetimes of sojourn in this material world. Certainly if I can, you know, devotees have forgiven me, they've welcomed me into their association, why I can't be welcoming to someone else? If I'm getting the mercy, I have to share the mercy, you see? Not that I receive so much mercy, but I'm going to be cruel to you. That's not proper mood. If you're getting so much mercy, you should be giving mercy. Okay, let's see if we have any more. Looks like that's about it. Okay. On that note, oh, here's one more. If one's guru falls down, should accept another guru. Well, I hate this question, but it's true. It's painful. I mean, it's painful to answer this question. I find it very painful, but we have to be honest and say it has happened. Sometimes it happened with Shukracharya. He deviated from Dharma and his advice he gave to Bali Maharaj. So what did Bali Maharaj do when he was given a bogus instruction by his guru? It's interesting to note, by disobeying his guru, he became one of the 12 great Mahajans. But that's not a principle. Oh, I'm going to disobey my guru and become a Mahajan. No, it's not like that. If your guru deviates from Dharma, then it's your duty to deviate from your adharmic guru, okay? It's not your duty to follow a adharmic guru. It is your duty to follow a dharmic guru. Now, if a guru does fall down, you have a choice. You can, ISKCON does not require you get reinitiated, but you can if you want. I have some disciples who are actually reinitiates of fallen gurus. I have some. And they're very happy getting reinitiated by me. And I actually have great respect and love for their spiritual master. He was a personal friend of mine when we were brahmacharis together. So they feel very happy to have taken shelter and gotten initiated by me. And I have great feeling of love for their spiritual master. I remember when he was a brilliant, effulgent gem of Chaitanya's mercy. He was just amazing. I remember how much I was inspired by him in his younger days. So you can get reinitiated if you like, but it's not required. If you feel you'd just like to take shelter of Siksha Gurus, senior devotees, of course, Prabhupada is our ultimate Siksha Guru for all of us. Take shelter of Prabhupada's instruction and other senior devotees who inspire me, enliven me, even my priyas who may, even juniors who may enliven me by their wonderful attitude, you see. If I feel strong enough, and it's not necessary to get reinitiated because I was connected with the Zivzig succession, and when my link broke out, then I was, because I was also linked with Prabhupada. You see, that's not me. I'm just using in the case. Let's say I was a grand disciple, and my guru blooped. Okay. Do I not have a relationship with Prabhupada? If I'm a Prabhupada grand disciple, I am a disciple of Prabhupada disciple. I'm not only having a relationship with my guru as a disciple, I'm also a grand disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Now my guru bloops, that doesn't mean I'm no longer Prabhupada's grand disciple. You understand? I'm still a grand disciple of Prabhupada. It's like you're a kid and you grow up and your father's killed in an automobile accident, but you still have your grandfather. He's still there. You can still go see granddad. You still have your grandfather. So even if your father dies, you still have your grandfather. So it's not necessary to get reinitiated, but if one wants to get initiated again, one can do that. That's an option. It's up to you. Whatever. You can also take advice from senior devotees and ask them what they feel would be best for you as well. You can take advice if you're not sure what you should do. So I think it pretty well answered that question. Okay, we'll stop here now, and we thank you all very much. And we have an announcement in just a minute coming up from our beloved temple president. But I just wanted to thank you all very much for coming today and for all the wonderful love that you've given us here while we've been here in Mauritius. We hope that we've been able to properly reciprocate your love by our dealings with you. We pray we have not offended you in any way by anything we said, thought, or did. And we look forward to coming back in December. And now Ajay Krishna, Ajay Chaitanya Prabhu wants to make an announcement.